Oh, yes. Some dim recollection of it. That was quite a night. I was drunk, I guess. What about it?
The smaller Chamco brother was nervous, but Turl seemed so open and pleasant, he was emboldened.
Well, it's gone. Stolen.
Stolen? Barked Turl.
Yes, actually the 500 credits I won and 165 more besides. The good luck bill was among...
Hey, now, slow up. Stolen from where?
My room.
Turl got out an official pad and began to make notes.
About what time?
Maybe yesterday. Last night I went to get some drinking money and I found...
Yesterday.
Turl sat back thoughtfully and gnawed at the top of his pen.
You know, this isn't the first theft reported from rooms. There were two others, but you're in luck.
How so?
Well, you realize, of course, that I am responsible for security.
Turl made an elaborate demonstration of searching through piles of junk on his back bench. He turned to the smaller Chamco brother.
I shouldn't let you in on this.
He looked thoughtful, then seemed to make a sudden decision.
I can trust you to keep this secret?
Absolutely, said the smaller Chamco brother.
Old Numph worries all the time about mutinies.
He should after that pay cut.
And so, well, you understand, I wouldn't do this on my own initiative, but it just so happened that your room was under surveillance yesterday, along with several other rooms, of course.
This did not much shock the Chamco. The company often put work areas and quarters under surveillance. Turl was fumbling through stacks of disks among the clutter.
I haven't reviewed them. Actually, never intended to. Anything to keep management happy. Ah, yes, here it is. What time yesterday?
I don't know.
Turl put the disk on a player and turned on the screen.
You're just lucky.
I should say so.
We'll just scan through this disk. It was on for 2 or 3 days. I'll give it a fast forward.
Wait,
said the smaller Chamco brother.
Something flashed by.
Turl obligingly reversed it.
Probably just you going in and out. I never review these things. It takes so long and there's so much to do. Company regulations.
Wait, look at that.
Turl said.
Here?
Yes. Who's that?
Turl brightened up the screen.
That's Zut,
cried the Chamco.
Look what he's doing. Searching the room. Huh? He found it. Crap, look at that. There's your bill.
Incredible, said Turl. You sure are lucky there was a mutiny scare on. Where are you going?
The Chamco had made an angry dive at the door.
I'm going down and beat the crap out of that low...
No, no, said Turl. That won't get your money back.
And it wouldn't either, for the money was nestling in a wad under Turl's front belt. He had taken it from the room soon after the Chamco had hidden it.
This has become an official matter because it was detected on an official disk during an official surveillance.
Turl opened a book of regulations, volume 989, to article 34A-4. He turned several pages, then spun the book about and showed the Chamco where it said, Theft of personal monies from the quarters of employees by employees, and, when duly evidenced, and vaporization. The smaller Chamco read it. He was surprised.
I didn't know it was that stiff.
Well, it is. And this is official, so don't go rushing off to take the law into your own hands.
Turl took a blast rifle out of the rack and handed it to the smaller Chamco.
You know how to use this. It's fully charged. You're now a deputy.
The smaller Chamco was impressed. He stood there fumbling with the catches and made sure the safety was on.
You mean I can kill him?
We'll see. This is official.
Turl picked up the disk and a smaller portable screen and player and the Book of Regulations, then looked around to see whether he had everything.
Come along. Stay behind me and say nothing.
They went to the quarters and found an attendant. Yes, the attendant had seen Zit coming out of Chamko's room. Yes, he knew Zit by sight. He didn't recall whether it was the 13th or the 14th of the month, but he'd seen him. He was cautioned to say nothing, for it was official and had to do with mutiny surveillance. And the attendant obligingly signed the witness report, vowing to himself to be sure to keep quiet. He didn't care much for executives anyway. And so it was that Turl, followed by the smaller Chamko brother with a blast rifle in ready position, came to the maintenance area of the garage. Turl snapped a small button camera on the wall and pushed its remote. Zit looked up. He had a heavy wrench in his paw. He looked at the blast rifle and the set faces. Fear stirred in him.
Put down that wrench, said Turl. Turn around and hold on to that chain lift rail with both paws.
Zit threw the wrench. It missed. Turl's paws batted him across three dollies. The Chamko danced around trying to get in a shot. Turl put his boot on Zit's neck. He waved the Chamko back. His body obscuring the Chamko's view, Turl knelt and, with a rapid sleight of paw, extracted the wad of bills from Zit's rear pocket. Turl handed them to the Chamko.
Are these your bills?
Zit had rolled over and stared up at them from the greasy floor. The Chamko counted.
650 credits, and here's the good luck bill.
He was ecstatic.
Turl said, You're witness to the fact they were in his back pocket.
Absolutely, said the Chamko.
Show that bill to the camera on the wall, said Turl.
What is this? Roared Zit.
Back up and keep that blast rifle ready, said Turl to the Chamko.
Then, keeping himself out of the fire path to Zit, he laid the things he had carried on the bench. He opened the Book of Regulations and pointed it out to Zit. Zit angrily read it aloud. He faltered toward the end and turned to Turl.
Vaporize? I didn't know that.
Ignorance is no excuse, but few employees know all the regulations. That you didn't know it is probably why you did it.
Did what? Cried Zit.
Turl turned on the disk. Zit looked at it, confused, incredulous. He saw himself stealing the money. Before Zit could recover, Turl showed him the attendant's signed statement.
Do I vaporize him now?
Begged the Chamko, waving the rifle about and fumbling off the safety catch. Turl waved a conciliatory paw.
Chamko, we know you have every right, no, actually the duty, to carry out the execution.
He looked at Zit, who was standing there stunned.
Zit, you're not going to do this sort of thing again, are you?
Zit was shaking his head, not in answer, but in dumbfounded confusion. Turl turned back to Chamko.
You see? Now listen, Chamko. I understand your anger. This is a first-time mistake for Zit. You've got your money back, and by the way, we'll exchange that bill now. I'll need it for the evidence file.
The Chamko took the note Turl offered and handed over the good luck bill. Turl held the bill up to the wall camera running on remote, and then laid it down on the statement.
You see, Chamko, said Turl, I can keep this file open, but in a safe place where it can be found if anything happens to either of us. It can be activated at any time, and would be activated if further offenses occurred.
His voice took on a pleading tone.
Zit has been a valuable fellow in the past. As a favor to me, lay aside your revenge and let it lie.
The Chamko was thoughtful, his bloodlust cooling. Turl glanced at Zit and saw no attack signals. He put out his paw to the Chamko.
Give me the rifle.
The Chamko did, and Turl put on the safety slide.
Thank you, said Turl. The company is indebted to you. You can go back to work.
The Chamko smiled. This Turl was sure a fair and efficient cyclo.
I sure appreciate your getting my money back, said the Chamko, and left.
Turl turned off the camera he had put on the wall and restored it to his pocket. Then he picked up the things on the bench and made them into a neat package. Zut was standing there, restraining the tremble that threatened to engulf him. The aura of death had gripped him all too nearly. Stark terror flared in his eyes as he looked at Turl. He was not seeing Turl. He was seeing the most diabolical devil ever drawn in the mythology of the Cyclos. "All right," said Turl quietly. Zut sank slowly down on a bench. Turl waited a bit, but Zut didn't move. "Now, to business," said Turl. "I want certain things assigned to my department. A Mark III ground car, executive. 2 battle planes, unlimited range. 3 personnel freighters, and fuel and ammunition without inventory. And a few other things. In fact, I just happen to have the requisitions right here for you to sign. Oh, yes, there are some blank ones, too. All right."
Zut did not resist the pen as it was pushed between his claws. The thick sheaf of requisitions was slipped onto his knee. Lifelessly, he began to sign each one. That night, a very cheerful Turl, who said he felt lucky even though a bit drunk, won all 650 credits back from the smaller Champco brother in a very narrowly contested game of rings. Turl even bought Kerbango for the whole crowd out of his winnings as a good-night gesture. They cheered him when he happily rumbled off to a well-earned sleep. He dreamed beautiful dreams wherein leverage made him wealthy, crowned him king, and got him far away from this accursed planet. 6. Johnny laid down his book and stood stretching. There was more than a smell of spring in the air. The snow had run off and only lingered in shady places. The air was crystal, the sky a beautiful blue. There was a surging tension in his limbs and muscles. It was one thing to be cooped up in winter. It was quite another to sit in a cage in spring. He saw what had distracted him a few moments before. Turl drove up to the cage gate in a long, sleekly gleaming black tank. It purred quietly, hiding awesome power behind its gun muscles and slitted ports. Turl bounded out and the ground shook. He was very jovial.
"Get your clothes on, animal. We're going for a drive."
Johnny was dressed in buckskin.
"No, no, no," said Turl. "Clothes, not hide. You'll stink up my new ground car. How do you like it?"
Johnny was suddenly alert. Turl asking for opinion or admiration was not the Turl he knew.
"I'm dressed," said Johnny.
Turl was unhooking the leash from the cage.
"Oh, well, what's the difference? I can stand it if you can. Get your air mask. You'll be inside, and I am damned if I'll drive around in one. Bring your clubs, too."
Now Johnny was alert. He put on a belt and a pouch with flints and the bits of glass for cutting. He put the thong of the kill club over his wrist. Turl checked the air bottles and playfully snapped the elastic of Johnny's mask as he put it on him.
"Now get in, animal. Get in. Some ground car, eh?"
Indeed it was, thought Johnny, as the gunner's seat engulfed him. Blazing purple fabric, gleaming instrument panel, and shining control button.